It's showtime.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
Washington is fundamentally corrupt. There are more words in the IRS code than there are in the Bible.
Made in America, heard around the world. You're listening to Blunt Force Truth. I'm Chuck Woolery, along with my co-host, Mark Young. And we are on the cutting edge of something.
We're on the cutting edge of everything, Chuck.
You know, it's incredible that you have to explain the news, or you have to, you know, reinforce the news because the news is so bad.
We're like news interpreters.
Well, I mean, it's really, when you think about it, people are subject to... it's not even fake news. It's corrupt. It is absolutely corrupt.
Well, as we
and they
said
corrupt
before,
the American people with it.
You used to go to the news and get the news and then make your own decision on, you know, on what to think. Now you have people on the news that are telling you what to think, and then you have to decide if it's news.
Well, most of the news isn't news. It's just gossip and conjecture and speculation. I mean, it's not even news.
But here at Blunt Force Truth, folks, we don't hide it. We're giving you our damn opinion on everything.
That's right. We're opinion guys.
And there's little out there that we don't have an opinion on.
Writing editorials on everything.
On the fly. Speaking of people who know nothing.
Yes.
Patrick was just telling me that Mazie Hirono, your favorite member of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Just came up with a statement where she
Tell everybody who Mazie Hirono is. They may not know.
She's from the beautiful state of Hawaii.
Yes.
And she said, you must consider, in fact, he's getting it for me. I shall read it to you. This is from Mazie. Believe in climate change as though it is a religion and not a science.
Well, that's already happening.
But Chuck, that's the first. This is the proof that a broken watch is right twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's true. It's not a science.
You know, the news will not, and I'm saying this as the news, the opinion, whatever you want to call it, will not let this be debated by the other side. They just will not allow it.
Oh, well, it's subtle science, Chuck.
Well, it's not settled. No science is really settled.
It's not. But think about what she said, though. Believe in it. Believe in it as if it's a religion, not a science. That is the truth. It is not a science. It is a religion. It is the religion of the left. And as we have said before, the purpose behind the New Green Deal and the whole climate change hoax is the fact that the liberals, the socialists, the Democrats, they understand that you, the American citizen, will only give up your rights as an American during a time of crisis. And right now, there is no time of real crisis. America's having a great time.
Every crisis that the Democrats have come up with is manufactured. It's not real. And we live in this world of turmoil because of the media and the Democrat Party. Otherwise, we could really be enjoying our lives and being prosperous and going forward with our families and just enjoying ourselves. But no, it's not allowed.
I mean, think about everything's a crisis, Chuck. Right now, we've got the best economy we've ever had. Unemployment at 3%.
Not according to Democrats. It's not the best economy at all because there's a person in Des Moines who's not doing well. One person.
Exactly.
It's just amazing.
More women employed, more women opening businesses, more blacks employed than any time, more Hispanics employed than any time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have no major wars going any place in the country. We're the leader of the free world. We have the best healthcare system in the world. We have nothing to be whining about, but we have to find a crisis.
And Judge Napolitano.
Napolitano.
No, he's Pollyanna Napano. Yeah. You know, it's funny. This is a nice guy. I'm sure he is. But he's all upset because Trump pulled out of Syria. Oh, my God. You got to stay in those wars.
Which has proven to be the correct thing to do.
It's just amazing when all of this this palaver comes down against him and everything else, and then all of a sudden it ends up, well, I guess he was right.
Now, you look at this. You've seen this.
And Turkey is not our friend. No. I'll tell you that right now.
So you see Greta Thunberg. You know who Greta Thunberg
is? Oh, my God. If I see any more Greta Thunberg, you know.
The poor autistic child who is an actress.
Now, they painted this whole mural of her. Yes. And you pointed out rightly that the ozone.
They use 720 cans of spray paint.
Exactly. I mean, can you, I mean, she might as well just flown back to Oslo or where she's from.
There's probably a hole in the ozone layer over the painting right now.
Exactly. I mean, these people are insane.
720. And guess where this is located?
It's got to be in Times Square, I'm guessing.
San Francisco.
Oh, it's in San Francisco. Okay, I'm sorry. Same thing.
Same thing. But I want to bring something up to you, Chuck. And this, I want people to pay attention to this. You and I have been talking in the past about how George Soros has really moved his focus of his locus onto prosecutors.
Right, DAs.
Going after district attorneys. Mm-hmm. Because if he can control all the district attorneys in all these states, then he can wipe out the ability to enforce the law.
Which he's doing in Pennsylvania, for one, for sure, in Pittsburgh.
Well, they just elected a new DA
Holy
for California.
Cow, in San Francisco, I could not believe this guy, that they elected this guy. His parents were Weather Underground. He was raised by the Weather Underground.
Is amazing. This guy, his name is Chesa Boudin. He just won the DA's race. He is a cop-hating socialist.
He's in San Francisco, correct?
He's in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. His parents went to prison because of a Weather Underground bank robbery where cops were killed.
Mm-hmm.
And he was raised by Bill Ayers and Bernie Dorn.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy was raised by the ultimate socialist terrorist.
They were the people that Obama had no idea who they were, but they were neighbors and he'd been to their house.
So, yeah, we were just neighbors.
Right.
So, yeah, this guy, when he was 14 months old, his parents, who were part of the Weather Underground, were jailed for driving the getaway car for the infamous 1981 armed robbery in New York, in which two cops and a security guard were killed. His father is still in prison serving 75 years, and his mother was paroled in 2003 and now runs a criminal justice initiative at Columbia University. Where else?
Oh, where else is right.
And what's at Columbia University, Chuck?
The School of Political Correctness out of Germany, out of, Frankfurt. Is it Frankfurt? Yeah.
Frankfurt School, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy is running. So he ran. San Francisco's just freaking lost, aren't they?
Well, in all honesty, I got to give you some information that I'm sure you're not aware of. The state of California, find a Republican. Devin Nunes, maybe. That's it. You can find one. It is a literally single state run by Democrats, period. And this is what you got. The whole state. I mean, it's so sad to watch this happen.
I mean, the San Francisco Police Department went all in on trying to defeat this guy.
I remember being, friend of Sugar Ray Leonard and Bernadette, his wife, and I spent some time at their house. They had a beautiful house in the Palisades, which is just outside of Beverly Hills, kind of overlooking the ocean. And, this is just an exquisite Italian Renaissance house. It's just breathtakingly beautiful. And I've spent, parties there and things like that. We were friends. At one time, the Palisades had the best schools in America. They were ranked number one. Now they're the last schools in America. And that hasn't been that long ago, Mark.
Not really.
I'm talking about the early 2000s, late 1990s.
Yeah, and it's not like the property values went down the drain.
Oh, my gosh, no. I mean, Palisades is a very expensive place
right.
to live.
Right. It's the liberalism that's killing the schools. Mm-hmm. Chuck, this guy ran on – this is what I don't get. He ran on a platform of not enforcing the law. This is what the voters of San Francisco picked.
It's just astounding.
He will no longer enforce laws against public urination, drug use, prostitution. He's going to eliminate cash bail. He wants to shut down jails. I mean, he's going to outlaw cops is what this guy wants to do.
In California, in Los Angeles, I know this is true, and I'm sure it is in San Francisco. If you shoplift and aren't caught or are caught, it'll be reduced to a misdemeanor. Now, it has to be under $1,000. So you can break into somebody's car, which everybody in San Francisco has got a broken window because all they do is walk by and see if there's anything in it, break into the cars and walk away, and nobody does anything. This is exactly the result of the kind of DA you're talking about. But under $1,000, it will be classified as a misdemeanor. So you can walk into any store, steal anything you want, and if it's under $1,000, you get a misdemeanor for, which is like jaywalking.
Well, what these gangs are doing now with these breaking into cars, they're doing this a lot, especially in France. And I've just seen this. They actually have these gangs, and they break into cars using three people. So the first guy goes by on a bicycle or on a skateboard, and all he does is smash the window of the car. So if he gets arrested, all he did was malicious destruction of property.
Mm-hmm.
The second person comes up, takes whatever's in the car, takes it out of the car, and puts it on the curb next to the car and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So all he did was remove property from the vehicle. He didn't steal it. Now the third person comes along and picks up the property who didn't steal it because they found it on the sidewalk.
And this is like probably happens in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, it all whips past pretty quickly. But they've become very organized so that they don't get busted. But back to San Francisco for a minute here. They have literally outlawed crime or outlawed the police now. The police say that in San Francisco they will be powerless.
What are these police going to do? I mean, you know, they can't give up their jobs. It's a job unless they move someplace. They just get rid of the police department altogether because it's basically what they're doing. They're just making them totally inert.
Well, police are in demand. And when you're a cop, you actually become a certified police officer. So you have to go to criminal justice school and become certified. But once you're certified, you can jump from department to department. So my guess is you will see a lot of these San Francisco cops that will get recruited away to other places.
Well, they won't be cops anymore. They'll be monitors.
Well, right. But they'll go places where they can be cops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'll see them go to Houston or Dallas or something like that where they can still be a cop. And their certification will carry over for them.
You know, this little town that I live in, I'm not going to mention the name of the town, but because it's very, very small. It is literally a dot in Texas. And most of our police out here are former Texas Rangers.
Well, yeah. I mean, you guys, you're lucky with that because those guys, that's the creme de la creme.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't join the Texas Rangers. You're invited to be a Texas Ranger.
So let me tell you, I walked out on my deck. I live on a channel on the lake, so I can look down the channel and see the lake and everything. And I walked out yesterday with Kristen, and she said, "Have you seen this?" And I said, "What?" She said, "Look next door. They built two houses next to mine, okay?"
Right.
And they both have pools, and they're on the channel, and they put up a barrier fence for the pool so nobody can see in or see out. Mm-hmm. So they've completely destroyed my view of the channel and the lake and my neighbors. You cannot look down the channel anymore.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So I went over to the architectural place, whatever it is in my little town. I said, this is what I got to live. And they said, no. This will not happen. This won't hold. We'll take it down. So they're going to take it down. And there's going to be a construction guy who's real upset with me, but I don't care.
Oh, really? They're going to take it down. Cool. Yeah. So I'm going to stick with California for a minute. I've got something else here that I just think is incredulous. California now has...
By the way, that's the first complaint I've ever made in my life.
Well, I mean, other than yelling at people to get off your lawn.
Well, so, that's different. I have never done that in my life either.
So I want you to grasp this, Chuck. There are 80,000 people in California collecting a pension from the government, which is in excess of six figures.
Yeah. They can sustain that, I'm sure.
20% of Los Angeles' budget is now just spent on paying retiree benefits. How is that sustainable?
That's the problem with Democrats. They promise, they do, and then it's unsustainable, and then they blame. You know, they blame someone else for it. When they've set this up themselves, it looks very enticing, obviously. I mean, anybody would want to get a great pension. And so they set these pensions up. They are totally unsustainable. And then everybody's pissed at the end. They, well, if it weren't for those Republicans.
So have you spent any, did you spend any time seeing Trump Jr. when he was on The View?
I did watch that.
What did you think?
Well, I thought he was, you know what I really came away with after watching him a couple of times and listening to him speak? It was very interesting to me. He is very much like his dad.
He is.
And I was surprised to see that.
He didn't back down, did he?
No. No, he did not. And Joy Behar, I mean, look, I remember when Ted Danson went to a party with Whoopi Goldberg and Ted Danson was in blackface.
Yep, I remember that.
Remember that?
Okay. Yep.
I also was surprised to see Whoopi support Joy Behar when Joy Behar was absolutely in blackface, maybe brownface, but it was meant to be blackface as a attractive African American woman,
a beautiful, proud black woman.
Yeah, so here they are protecting each other. So Whoopi's just as complicit as Joy is, and it seems to make no difference to them whatsoever.
Joy Behar actually said during the show, amongst other things, I don't care about people having jobs as long as Trump is in the White House.
Well, you know, that's a very good point she makes. Because
it's true. She's telling the truth.
It's absolutely true. These people would rather see. Have you ever seen so much pushback on success as you have since Trump has been president? I mean, they would just assume the America go down the tubes than have Trump be president. It's ridiculous.
Bill Maher wants a recession.
Yeah, sure. Give us a recession. We're just way too prosperous. We don't like it because Trump did it. And you're thinking, what?
Now, what I really thought was interesting was Behar scolded her own audience.
Well, actually, Whoopi did that.
Is it Whoopi that scolded the audience?
Yeah, Whoopi said, this is not a MAGA meeting.
Convention, yeah. So imagine you have a guest on your show. You've had shows for years.
Sure.
You have a guest on your show, and the audience applauds your guest. And you scold the audience for applause?
Well, how about this? You give them three segments. That's a long time on a show.
It is.
Like The View. Three segments is a long time. You give them three segments to promote their book. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's what you said. We come on and we'll promote your book. They never mentioned the title of the book one time.
Never. No, it was a trap.
Yeah.
And Don Jr. knew it was a trap.
I'm sure he did.
And he went in there ready for them.
Well, he was prepared, that's for sure.
They probably won't be rushing to invite him back, is my guess.
You don't win on The View.
See, I think you and I should go on The View.
Yeah, right. I'm sure we'd be very welcome.
That would be so much fun.
I can hardly land at LAX, much less go on The View.
But see, I'm just picturing we could tag team. You take Whoopi, I take Joy, and we would just go at them. Double tandem. Tulsi Gabbard, by the way, is now having her lawyers considering suing Hillary Clinton.
You know what?
Her a Russian.
I think she should. I think she should sue her.
Has Hillary Clinton just lost her mind?
Well, you know, look, it appears that everybody on the left, you know, sitting in our chairs, we have a different overview, but everyone on the left has lost their minds. I mean, they're just nuts. And they're saying nutty things. They believe that they know more than the American people. They have no respect for us at all. And I say us because I lump myself in with the American people. The only thing special about me is I was on television for a long time. A lot of people know me. But quite frankly, I think just like most Americans do, and they have no respect for us. Washington has no respect for us. Our leaders, people who we elect, have very, very little, if any, respect for us at all. And yet we're the ones that put them in power. Look what Californians are putting up with. And they're blaming PG&E for it. And it's the government. That's where the seed of the problem is. It's so corrupt. And people keep reelecting, expecting. It is truly insanity, as Albert Einstein said, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
But why keep at it?
That's the mystery. I honestly don't know whether it's just habitual and you decide this is who I am. This is what I'm going to do. It's what I've always done. So I'm going to continue doing it. And I hope that something different happens. Or no. You're convinced that you're right. And, you know, it's very interesting. Dr. Phil, of all people, uses an expression which I think is suits Democrats a lot.
Is that kick them to the curb?
No. He says to someone, you're losing your family. Your family is disintegrating just because you're a right fighter. And these people think they're fighting for the right thing and they're losing everything because they're right fighters. They think they're right.
Oh, I get it. I get these lunatics on Twitter. I just want to see your face when Bernie Sanders wins the presidency. It's like, my God, Bernie Sanders will never even clear the nomination. Why would you even believe something like that?
You're a tech guy. I'm not. So let me ask you a question because I'm curious, and I know a lot of people are in the same boat that I'm in. Why is it that a lot of my tweets don't get retweeted? Or they're retweeted and nobody ever sees them? Now, the interesting thing is I sent out a tweet that was massive the other day, and it was about me. And it was just huge, probably the biggest tweet that I've ever had. And I said, to answer your question, I'll paraphrase this because I can't remember exactly what I said. I have destroyed my career by being an open conservative and openly supporting Trump. But it was my choice. I understood it, and I would do it again. That got thousands and thousands and thousands of tweets. And my suspicion is this, is that the line that appealed to the left in there, why they let it go, was I've destroyed my career. I think that's why they let it go, is that Chuck Woolery is now admitting that he destroyed his career because he's a conservative and openly for Trump.
Well, there's a couple of things that go on with inside Twitter. One, they have a lot of leftist employees who just put caps on your account.
Now, what is that? What is a cap on your account? Because I'm not the only one. I guarantee you there are thousands of people listening to us right now that have the same thing happen to them.
So right now, I'll give you an example. My account right now is at 91,900 listeners or followers. Mm-hmm. My account usually grows by 200 people a day. My account hasn't grown by one person in the past week. Mm-hmm. What's happening is, and by the way, as you know, you keep seeing people following you.
Yes.
So I'll see 100 people follow me and the number went down.
Right.
What Twitter's doing is, as someone new follows me or follows you, they're quietly unfollowing someone else. So you and I both get tweets from people saying, I've been following you, and all of a sudden, I wasn't following you
anymore. I have had those tweets before, yes.
Mm-hmm. Because Twitter just disconnects them from us. Now, the second thing, so they don't want us to grow. The next thing is they employ algorithms.
So I'm up to about 650,000 people, something in that area right now.
And you've been frozen in the 640 range for 2 weeks.
Forever.
Right, because they're putting a cap on you. Now, the other thing that happens is they use algorithms. So these algorithms look for certain phrases, keywords, and phrases.
And like I destroyed my career?
Correct. So I can't tell you you're correct, but I can tell you that technically it is possible that an algorithm could be written that allows for self-deprecating claims to be able to go through. Mm-hmm. and an algorithm could be written where a comment that would be read as being negative to Democrats could be restricted.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at a lot of comments that you and I make, a lot of comments we make would be considered unflattering to the left.
Well, not only us, but our audience as well.
And those tweets are given limitations. I will show you, I'm going to tell you how I know that you're shadow banned and how I'm shadow banned. If I put out a tweet.
Let's put this in a broader context. How does everyone out there know that they're shadow banned? Because I know we are, but we're also speaking to a lot of people who are being shadow banned as well.
So I have that tweet you did, by the way. You have 95,000 likes, 18,400 retweets. And you said, to answer your question, yes, I have pretty much destroyed my career by openly supporting Trump and letting all know I am a conservative. Painful at times, but true. After all is said and done, it was my choice, and I can live with it, and I would do it all again. And your response was just overwhelming. So
it was.
Here's how I
can. That was my response. I'm saying overwhelming as to most tweets that I send out.
So let me give you an example. When we put out a tweet, so under the way it's supposed to work, if I tweet something, then everyone who follows me, who has their device on, should see that tweet instantly.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
I can put a tweet out on my own account and then jump over to my other account or jump over to your account and see that it doesn't show up.
Wow.
Or I can see you put a tweet out on your account. I'll jump over to my account and see that it didn't show up on my feed because they're choking how many people can see it. And because we have multiple accounts in here, we can jump back and forth and witness it.
And there's really nothing, as we are participants on the platform of Twitter, there's nothing we can do about this besides just take our lumps, right?
Pretty much. The thing that we need to do as a society is we need to cut off the social media companies from being able to hide under the law. Right now, these companies are all hiding, claiming that they are not in the business of creating content, that they're not content developers. They're just a tech company.
Let me say something, folks. Forgive me for going down this personal road, but I think we're all involved in the same thing. And that's why I thought it was important to perhaps expose. We know it's going on. We just don't know how they do it. We know why they're doing it, because they're trying to choke off conservative voices.
2 weeks ago, Twitter put you and I in Twitter jail for 12 hours.
Right.
Because our social media team posted an article about Congresswoman, what's her name, Hall?
I don't even remember. Nobody knows who she is now. It's 2 weeks past.
Katie Hill. We posted, and it included a photograph of Katie Hill. That was blurred out, and she doesn't have clothes on. You didn't see anything.
Right.
Brushing her employees' hair, because we all sit around naked and brush our employees' hair.
But we picked it up somewhere else on social media or in the news.
That story was on social media accounts everywhere.
Right.
One of our own in-house people posted it on his personal account and copied Twitter on it and said, "Hey, Twitter, are you going to ban me for this?" And they didn't.
Right. So they're selective. Why?
Because they've identified, they've focused on you and I to come and get us. Chuck, this is no different than what Media Matters is doing, going after our advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
It's same the same thing. Same nonsense. When we put an advertiser on our show, they get inundated with emails telling people, "We're from the such and such group. You're supporting racism, you're supporting homophobia, you're supporting Islamophobia," although you actually do admit to being Islamophobic. So we'll kind of give them that one.
Yeah. But guilty.
Just one. But but anyways, and they go after advertisers. This is the reason we did the Patreon thing. I mean, and I'll tell people right now, it costs a lot of money to do this show. We've got five people working on it. What we did is we opened up a Patreon page. You go to bluntforcetruth.com. You'll see the Patreon button. Click on the button. And what we're asking people to do is to support the broadcast. If you like the show, help us pay for the help. The money's not going to Chuck. It's not going to me. It goes to support all the great folks that are working to bring this and to bring the Blunt Force Truth news site to you also. And a lot of people have been signing up, Chuck, and God love them. I am so appreciative of
Thank you so
that.
Much. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
So jumping back into so we got past our Tulsi Gabbard thing. Nikki Haley is out with a new book. Have you seen any of that?
Yeah, I've seen. I've been watching Nikki Haley talk about
you know, Kelly.
I have to admit, Tillerson's a Texan, and I was really – I was so happy when he was nominated and then confirmed to be Secretary of State. And what a disappointment. What an incredible disappointment.
Him and John Kelly went to her and wanted her to help subvert the president.
You know, it's there are generals and then there are generals. There are admirals and then there are admirals. There are political people in our armed forces just like they are everywhere else. They're not warriors. They're just political. And these are the guys that usually end up in government, almost always with few exceptions, like General Flynn, who was an absolute warrior. Petraeus was a warrior. And, of course, we all see where they are now.
I've been told by people inside the military that I know that now to be above the rank of colonel is strictly a political position.
Mm-hmm.
That it's all about your politicking. Yes, mm-hmm. You may have a heroic background in the past. You probably didn't have the heroic background when you were a general or an admiral. But getting past that full bird colonel level is all about politics.
And if you watch some of the pundits on Fox and places like that, most of them are bird colonels. They're
yes.
not generals.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you find that those are the guys that are, I think, gutsier and willing to come out and say what needs to be said.
Right.
But it makes sense because they didn't play the political game to go the next step. Because think about it. If you're a full bird colonel, you're a lifer.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're up the chain of command. So what is it that's stopping you from crossing over from there to being a general? It's not you're going to go out and fight another war.
No.
It's the politics. And it seems like the guys who stop at colonel are the guys who were telling the truth. I didn't make it to the general level because I'm not playing the game.
So, I would suspect that General Flynn, I suspect this, and maybe Petraeus as well, probably were not very political or didn't express their politics while they were being promoted to general.
I don't think they did much.
Yeah, they were more warriors.
So I want to cover a news item here, Chuck, that I think is really interesting. It's a little wonky here, so follow with me.
Oh, gosh, not another wonky one. Okay,
it's not too wonky, so bear with me. I'm going to shock you here.
Speaking of wonky, before you get into this, mm-hmm. Do you notice how Democrats complicate, overcomplicate, and then complicate again things so that you just don't understand quite what's going on, but you kind of do, but it's so complicated you can't get to the bottom of it?
And it's interesting because if you look at any of the work from either Einstein or another great physicist.
What's his name?
The other one I'm thinking of is Feynman. So Dr. Feynman or Dr. Einstein. And what both of them always promoted was the idea that any idiot can make something sound complicated, but it takes a true genius to make the complicated simple.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, we don't have very many geniuses at this point.
That's the point. The Democrats are proving that any idiot can make anything sound complicated.
Mm-hmm.
So here's something the government's been doing, Chuck. The government has been lying to you.
Oh, not again.
I can see the shock on your face.
I'm not shocked at anything anymore. I mean, honestly, I wish I was, but I'm just not. I wonder if most of the American people are thinking like I think. It's just like, go ahead, try to shock me.
Well, we've been told that the poverty rate in America has not gone down since 1970.
I have harped on this since I went to India back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've argued, the government has claimed that the poverty level has stayed stuck, that it has only moved, think about this, that the poverty level has only moved 1.2% since 1970. So all this war on poverty that we have has been for naught, because they claim it isn't working. We need to shovel more money in.
How much money has been spent on the war on poverty, which the war on poverty was a Johnson administration fiasco? Yeah. Trillions and trillions of dollars.
Well, it ends up that the way the government's been calculating the poverty level has been a lie.
All right.
Imagine that.
Enlighten me. Enlighten us.
Well, the first thing is they only count the poverty level based on cash income.
Oh, so this is like taking polls.
Yes. So they only count cash into the household. So if the household is on SNAP program, if they're on food stamps, if they're on disability, if they're on any type of non-cash supplement, they don't count it as income.
You know, for instance, like what?
Food stamps. You get, let's say,
is not income?
No. Let's say you get $700 a month in food stamps. They don't count that as income.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that you get free health care, free Medicaid, not income. Let's say you get free rent, not income.
Who gets free rent?
Oh, there's all kinds of people with free rent programs called Section 8.
Oh.
There's people all over.
Section 8 was insane.
No, there's a whole program called Section 8 where the federal government pays people's rent all over the country.
Wow.
Child tax credit. So you know how if you don't make a certain amount of money, you get more money back on your taxes than you paid in?
Mm-hmm.
They don't count that as income. So all of these sources of income are not counted in the numbers when they're counting poverty.
And this is thousands of dollars, obviously.
Well, it's thousands of dollars per person. But the reality is, if you do two things, if you do one thing, if you just count all the non-cash benefits that poor people get, the poverty rate has dropped 10 full percentage points.
To what? What is the poverty rate?
Right now?
Yeah.
It is legitimately 2.8.
So,
but we're supposed to believe it's 13%. And according to the great economist AOC, she claimed.
What, her name, when you just say AOC, it invokes laughter.
It does, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So the economist AOC said, well, if the government would just raise the poverty limit, then everyone would see how many people are in poverty. What? Can you hear yourself? Are you insane?
Yes.
If they'll just raise the poverty level, then we'll see how many people are in poverty. Well, raise it to 1 million a year. We'll all be in poverty. I mean, good Lord. So the real poverty rate is 2.8. Now, let me add to that, that number isn't even legitimate. Here's why. They base this on 1970, okay? In 1970, did you have a cell phone?
No.
Did you have 500 cable channels?
Nope.
Internet connection?
No.
All of these things that...
I didn't have a job in 1970. I was among the walking poor in 1970.
There you go. All of these things that you didn't have in 1970 that you now have today are now considered essentials.
So is that like an existential threat?
Well, no, that would be anything that the Democrats identify as as a problem for them.
Yeah.
But so having a cell phone, having a personal computer, having a flat screen TV, having a microwave, all these things, if you don't have,
they're essential to the poor. They're essential to everyone.
Right. So if you don't own those things today, then that moves you into poverty.
Right. Well, that was the Obama phone thing, wasn't it? You're going to give everybody a phone?
Well, you had to have Obama phones. But the Obama phone thing actually started with Reagan.
Oh, so it was the Reagan phone thing?
It was the Reagan phone, but Obama, for lack of better words, folks, bastardized the Reagan rule. So Reagan started the phone deal. And what he started it for, Chuck, and this makes sense, he started it for hardwired phones in super rural houses where phone companies didn't run wire. And he said the reason for it was that you had these farmers that were living in these far out places that couldn't call an ambulance or a fire truck if they needed one. So they started this government program that paid to run wire out into these rural areas. The Obama administration took that rule and bastardized it and made it into, well, everyone has the right to have a phone, because how could anyone call 911 if they don't have a phone? Mm-hmm. So instead of saying, so you can see what Reagan was doing. He was trying to get wiring. He wasn't giving free phones. The money was used to wire houses so they could pay rural for a phone. Yep. Right. So they could pay for a phone.
Right.
But they couldn't pay to have a wire ran 10 miles to their house.
Right.
Obama turned that into everybody needs a free Obama phone so they can call 911. How many people do you think got a free Obama phone so they could call 911?
I don't know. How many people use a free Obama phone to get hit by another car while they're paying attention to their free Obama phone?
Well, you know what? That is, you think you're funny, mister, but I'm going to tell you.
No, I said that very seriously with a laugh.
So here in Detroit, we have a famous road, which is called 8 Mile.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows 8 Mile.
8 Mile.
And why do they know? Why does everybody know 8 Mile? Who really made 8 Mile prominent?
Well, that was none other than the rapper Eminem.
Exactly right.
Marshall Mathers. So Eminem made it famous because he lived off of 8 Mile when he was a poor kid. And 8 Mile, folks, is, if you're not from Detroit, it's the border between Detroit and Oakland County. So Oakland County is where there's money, and 8 Mile is the bad side. So
there isn't money.
So you can literally drive down 8 Mile and have abject poverty on one side and
money. So 8 Mile would be considered the track. You are on the right side or the wrong side of the tracks.
It is the track. So there is an attorney who runs billboards all the way up and down 8 Mile.
Is this a smash and grab attorney? One of these guys who break your leg, come to me. And
he's the run over by a car while playing with your Obama phone attorney.
Right.
This is what made you think of this. And his billboard just has a picture of himself. And it says, hit by a car and a question mark. And then the phone number, 866-CAR-HIT-YOU. Now you go about 3 miles down, then another one. Hit by a car, 888-CAR-HIT-YOU.
It's like Burma Shave billboards.
Couple of miles further down, hit by a car yet?
Oh, my gosh. Do you ever watch Judge Judy? Because I do.
I have seen it.
Okay, I've watched Judge Judy because Kristen loves Judge Judy and we'll watch it. And every slip and fall lawyer on earth is on Judge Judy.
Morgan and Morgan for the people.
Yeah, right.
So here's the thing on 8 Mile. There is it's the Viking horde coming in.
Yes, and it says spam risk.
Ooh. I like spam, actually. I enjoy spam.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you my phone. I get lots of them.
No, I'm talking about the spam you cook in a pan.
Oh, okay.
You fry it up, put a little mayo on it.
Risk of heart attack eating spam.
That's true. But at any rate, how would you like to be the owner of spam and have your product name the most awful thing?
My phone rings and we just went completely off the rails here. What?
Think of the poor Hormel people having their product hijacked.
Yeah.
So 8 Mile, by the way, there's a cottage industry on 8 Mile where people will stand on the edge of 8 Mile. 8 Mile is a very wide boulevard, big road, very fast. People will stand on the curb and wait for really nice cars to come up to a red light. And then they roll out in front and try to get hit by the car. So you can really? sue the driver. Yes, this is a business.
Well, and all because of Obama phones. But well, what an interesting connecting of dots.
But you never see anybody jump out in front of a 22-year-old Volkswagen Rabbit.
Yeah, right.
They always jump out in front of a Mercedes.
Yeah, well.
Through Mercedes or an Audi or something, but never get run over by a Chevy Lumina.
I can hear thousands of people now clicking off, so let's go on to something that's more important.
Well, we'll stick with our attorney theme for a moment here. Alan Dershowitz.
By the way, isn't it Alan Dershowitz, I guess, could be described as a liberal in old terms, what a liberal really is.
Classic liberal.
Classic liberal instead of just this new progressive liberal.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement that he's a classic liberal. In the same vein that Alan Colmes would have been.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Colmes was a classic liberal. But as you remember, Alan's been on this show before he passed away, and we got along with Alan wonderfully.
Yeah, no problem.
And what was so nice about him, and I think the same with Dershowitz, is as classic liberals, they share more of the values that we do as conservatives.
Well, they share values of libertarians is what they do.
Right, but they share the value of, you have a different opinion, I don't hate you.
Right.
Alan Colmes didn't hate you because you had a different opinion.
And yet, Alan Dershowitz, I know, if Hillary Clinton was running again, he would vote for her. Which is kind of amazes me.
I don't know if he would now.
Well, he said he would.
Yeah.
He said he would. Yeah. I mean, well, not in the last 2 weeks, but.
Now think of this. Here's Alan Dershowitz. Here's a guy who's one of the greatest legal minds alive, who, as Chuck is saying, would support Hillary, okay, and is a liberal, who is saying that there is no possible evidence that would justify an impeachment.
You know, it's really strange because you get all of these lawyers, and I put that in quotes, on all of these shows who really are just lawyers. And all of a sudden they become experts on the Constitution, which they are not. And if anyone who is an expert on the Constitution comes up against them, they're in deep water over their heads. But no one is ever put in place who is an expert on the Constitution to deny what they're saying. So they're able to just say anything, and people go nod their heads like sheep and go, oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, let me give you Dershowitz's quote.
Napolitano.
So Dershowitz says, take the worst case scenario. The president abused his foreign policy power to gain political advantage. He goes on to say, how many presidents have done that over time?
Oh, like all of them?
It's not among the listed impeachable offenses. It's not a crime. It's not any kind of crime. The framers had a debate on this, and they rejected the concept of maladministration as a ground for impeachment. You need to show bribery, treason, or high crimes and misdemeanors. And he says, I'm a liberal Democrat. I think the worst thing Democrats can do is vote on impeachment. He will win in the Senate, and he will use that to win re-election. This is from one of their own.
So let me ask you this, because I'm curiouser and curiouser. We have Joe Biden openly talking to, I mean, everybody on earth, I suppose, has seen this by now, saying that he was going to withhold $1 billion if Burisma, the prosecutor for Burisma, didn't stop prosecuting. Okay.
And I'm leaving in 6 hours with $1 billion, taking $1 billion with me.
And they said, well, you're not the one who can do it. Well, then call the president. He said, sure, go ahead, call Obama. He'll back me up. So what is that?
And Obama has never come out and disassociated himself from that claim.
But what do we see in front of our eyes?
Quid pro quo.
Thank you. I mean, it should end right there.
Right. $1 billion of taxpayer dollars was being leveraged for his personal benefit.
So here we have openly Joe Biden saying this stuff, Trump didn't do anything even close to that. And the Democrats are swearing he had a quid pro quo. They're swearing that he, oh, what's the other word they use that he, oh, starts with the B. Can't think of it. But anyway, the point is Joe Biden did something openly that they're accusing Trump of doing, and they have no proof of it, that he did it at all, just their opinion. And it was, so what is this whole thing about? You're looking at it going, what? At least I am. I just can't believe what I'm seeing.
Because to a Democrat, and this is, and I'm, this is not hyperbole. Their opinion is a fact. Our facts are just our opinions.
But I mean, it's right out there for everyone to see. It's not as if it's hidden.
Okay, but are
he was gonna, bragging about it.
Are you going to believe your lying eyes, or are you going to believe what you're told?
Boy, we live in crazy times, don't we? I mean, is this just insane or what?
I have seen the Democrats recently claiming that they didn't say that they would give health care to illegal aliens. And you watched every one of them raise their hand when they were asked the question.
And then they said, no more raising your hands on anything anymore. It was so embarrassing to them.
And then you look at Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi said in a TV interview, we could never pursue impeachment unless we had a bipartisan effort. Then she went on camera a week or two ago and said, well, I never said that. I said it would be nice. Play the tape. No, you never said it would be nice. You said we cannot go forward without a bipartisan, you know, issue.
Do they expect the American people to be this stupid? I mean, is that the level of competence they have for the American people? I mean,
no, they expect the media to be that complicit and hide it.
Well, that I get, because they do it every day.
Because the media in this country is a part of the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of it.
There are some great people out there giving us the news. Molly Hemingway's one of them. John Solomon is another one.
Cheryl Atkinson.
Cheryl Atkinson is absolutely another one.
James O'Keefe.
But they are few and far between. They are so overpowered by the media itself.
Well, look at James O'Keefe. You know, we're doing Patreon to support right. our broadcast. James O'Keefe, who is doing amazing work mm-hmm. at Project Veritas, they have to work by donations also.
Right.
Because you can't raise money telling conservative truth right now, because these people descend on your support like locusts.
Right. True, they do.
The whistleblower.
They scare the companies away is what they do.
They do.
Just scare them. They just say, well, it's easier not to support these people than it is to deal with this other stuff.
The so-called whistleblower whose name shall not be said.
Voldemort. It's funny because I said Voldemort. I came out and I said, I guess the whistleblower's name is Voldemort. And a lot of people said, what is that? I don't understand. Of course, they didn't see Harry Potter.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, Voldemort is like, everybody's using it. So I was ahead of the curve on that one. Thank you.
So his name, which we will not ever say, which is mm-hmm. something we would never do, Eric Ciramilla, apparently he threw a party for Joe Biden, threw a banquet for Joe Biden in 2016.
Yeah. But how do they hide this stuff? I mean, and where do they get the right to keep this truth from the American people as to who this guy is and what he does and what he's been for and who he worked for and who he supported and how partisan he is? How do they have the right to keep that from the American people? It just is not – there's something very unseemly about all of this.
On the same day – now follow this one. On the very same day – that Joe Biden had the prosecutor fired that was investigating Hunter.
That would be the day he only had 6 hours left and son of a bee.
Yes. Whistleblower who should go unnamed, Eric Ciramilla, was hosting a meeting with one of George Soros' employees.
You know, George Soros is all over this thing. He's all over everything, but he's all over the Ukraine thing. And if they ever open that can of worms, and I suppose eventually it will be 10 years from now, whatever, they're going to find out just how deep the Democrat Party, the DNC, CrowdStrike was involved. CrowdStrike are the guys who looked at Hillary Clinton's computer, or the DNC computer, excuse me. They're the ones that did the FBI work for the DNC computer. Mm-hmm. So CrowdStrike is also up to their eyeballs in this thing in Ukraine.
Also, if you search...
And that's what Trump wanted to find out about.
If you search the White House visitor logs, you know how those are public?
Yeah.
In just the year 2016, mm-hmm. Baltimore visited... The Obama White House, yes, he visited the White House over 200 times.
Wow. Then
that's like a full-time job.
So he visited the White House 200 times, and he goes to work in the White House for Trump.
So, but think about this. You visited the White House 200 times. How many days out of a year does somebody work?
Yeah.
It's just over 200.
Mm-hmm.
This guy went to the White House every day of his life.
Well, he was working.
For the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. Now we go to his lawyer.
Yeah, this
Mark,
guy.
Mark Zaid.
Yeah.
He's a guy who brags about getting security clearances for people with child porn addictions.
Pedophiles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, a little pedophilia here and there. He also put on his Twitter account how he would get Trump. He would bring him down.
Yeah, that was back in 2015 or 16.
Yeah. Yes. But this is okay.
It's like these bills the Democrats have that suddenly appear. They're long, they're complex. They have them in a drawer. They've done these. They have these things tucked away where they need a little tweaking here and there. They're all done. They're way ahead.
You know that most of the people in Congress never write these bills.
Well, no, they're written by staff or by lobbyists or whoever.
There you go. They're written by lobbyists, mm-hmm. and they're written by special interest groups.
Right. Yeah. And they're tucked away in a drawer someplace for the opportune time to bring them up. And I have a feeling they've got a lot of this stuff that's been tucked away as well. And it'll just keep on coming.
Now, this guy's out getting security clearances for pedophiles. Meanwhile, have you noticed that Epstein and all those around him have just vanished?
Boy, that's interesting. That was a hot story for about a second and a half, and then gone like it never happened.
It is evaporated.
Yeah.
And we have...
It's because Bill Clinton was involved, and they don't want to damage his name any further. I mean, can you do any more damage to Bill and Hillary Clinton than has already been done?
He's only on the plane 27 times.
I mean, seriously, how can you protect him from himself any longer? I mean, it's like everybody knows now.
I only went to Pedophile Island 27 times, Joe.
Seriously, though, what is that all about? I mean, they protect Joe Biden, they protect Hunter Biden, they protect anybody that's on the Democrat side, and we protect nobody. We expose everybody on our side.
Well, you have Dr. Baden, who is a world-renowned ME.
Who cares about Dr. Baden? Here, can't listen to him.
Who has said that Epstein's injuries are consistent with physical trauma, that somebody murdered him.
Right.
The guards who were assigned to watch him fell asleep.
The cameras were turned off.
The cameras mysteriously were broken.
Oh, they were broken. Oh, I see.
Okay. They malfunctioned.
They didn't notice that 6 hours before they were broken.
Well, I would have noticed it, but I fell asleep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was the guard and I fell asleep, so I didn't notice the cameras malfunction. And then somehow he managed to off himself with a bed sheet.
Yeah. And break those bones that can't be broken any other way other than by somebody strangling you.
So as we have spoken in the past, there's a thing in philosophy which is called Occam's razor.
Yes.
And Occam's razor is the philosophy that the simple and most obvious answer in front of you is probably the right answer. Yeah. Okay. When we look at a guy who's consistent with a murder, whose guards fell asleep while on suicide watch, whose cameras mysteriously malfunctioned. Does any of this pass the smell test?
And I'm just saying, once again, when politics are involved and powerful people are involved, they think you as Americans are stupid and they have no respect for you. They have no respect for us at all. I mean, and then what are you going to do about it?
Exactly.
It's like Sarah Carter came out. She said, well, you know, it's going to be very damning. This IG report is going to be very damning. What he's going to, you know, have convictions and suggest grand juries and all that kind of stuff. And I remember I put, and then what, in front of what she'd said, because where does it go? Is anybody ever held accountable other than a Republican?
I'm curious to why Bill Barr hasn't pursued the Epstein thing. I mean, well, I agree. The guy's got his hands filled.
I was going to say he's got a lot on his plate at this point, but.
But he has resources.
I know he went in. Well, he did in the beginning. If you remember, he went in and cleaned out the prison that he was in or did something. I can't recall, but he did something. And everybody talked about it for about a minute and a half, and then it went away. So initially, he did do something, but it didn't solve. It was not towards solving the crime.
The reality is, you've got a better shot on surviving typhoid than you do crossing with the Clintons.
You think the FBI could go in there and make a case?
Against the people involved or a case that he was murdered?
A case that he was murdered.
I don't think it would be, from what I'm seeing, it doesn't sound like it would be that difficult. When you're looking, here's what you got to look at, Chuck. When you're looking in legal things, you have to start with what's the evidence and then get a trial and so on.
I've heard Judge Jeanine come on. I mean, she's come on many times and said, look, I'm a judge. I've judged a lot of these situations. There is enough evidence here to prove that this guy was strangled. And
I agree. I agree that there is enough evidence that it warrants a trial. Because a trial is where the evidence comes out. There's enough evidence that it warrants a trial. The issue you have here is, can you really have a trial if you don't have a murderer?
A murderer? Well, you don't know who did it, but you know who was done.
Exactly. Yeah. But if you don't have someone to put on trial for committing it, what are you going to try?
Well, you certainly try the system.
But the system can't be convicted. Now, the system.
People who are in charge certainly can. People who are in charge of the system can certainly be held accountable.
You could certainly go after certain people, but that would probably be less of a criminal trial and more of an administrative employee kind of thing.
Well, I want something done.
But if you can't identify who did the crime, but think about it, if you don't have a criminal,
yeah,
it's hard to charge somebody with the crime.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I believe the FBI can string together a story to say this guy was offed. I'm not convinced that they have the evidence to be able to say who.
Well, they don't have the evidence that apparently that O.J. killed his wife.
Well, O.J.'s still looking for the real killer.
Excuse me. Well, why can't they keep looking for this guy? Excuse me. Oh, sorry. Texas allergies.
OJ's still out looking for the real killer on golf courses. He's searching golf courses across America.
But you get my point, don't you?
Yeah, and that and the killers hang out on golf courses.
Oh, that's not my point at all.
Oh, I thought you were trying to prove the killers are all on golf courses.
Oh,
no,
gosh.
That's where OJ's looking.
Mm-hmm.
So there was, you remember this lunatic from Yale, Brandy Lee?
Oh, is this the psychiatrist that decided that Trump was unhinged?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. She.
Of course, we all remember Brandy Lee.
Yes. She now says that she wants to take Trump out of the White House in restraints and and frog march him from office.
She wants to? Well, what gives her the right to do that?
Because she wants to conduct a psychological evaluation on him.
Yeah, somebody needs to conduct a psych evaluation on her.
But she's only willing to do it if he's physically constrained
because he's
that dangerous.
Oh, of course.
But here's where this gets crazy.
Oh, pardon me. It gets crazier, you mean?
Yes, because that was the normal part. She has now contacted Shifty Schiff.
She wants to be a witness, I'll bet.
She wants to testify.
Oh, my gosh.
And she has put together a group of four experts, psychiatrist, a clinical neuropsychologist, a neurologist, and an internist. I'm not quite sure why the internist is there.
Well, he's there to evaluate and tell you what's wrong, and then the surgeon's there to take it apart with a knife, and then the other people are say, it's like taking entrails of an animal and then deciding what the future is. They basically just want to take his insides out, throw them on a table, and go, oh, see?
Yes.
Oh, it's witchcraft.
Oh, thank you for teasing. Thanks for teasing that one.
It's witchcraft.
Chuck, according to the Women's March.
It's witchcraft.
According to the Women's March, they are now advocating witchcraft and the casting of spells on Republicans.
Well, we have exorcism every place, so why not have witchcraft?
The Women's March Twitter account is now advocating casting spells as means of fighting patriarchy.
These are people that don't believe in God, but they believe in that. I mean, give me a break.
They want to start casting spells.
It's going to be Salem all over again.
Last thing I was going to leave you with is a guy.
Except they'll be looking for witches to, you know, to not to punish, but to exonerate and use.
So the last item I'm going to leave you with is a guy that I tortured him on Twitter this week.
Yes.
And oddly enough, he blocked me and then actually went and reserved his Twitter account, made his Twitter account private.
I had a guy do a whole number on me, and my reply to him was, I would reply to you, but I'm late for my yoga class. That was it, and I blocked him.
Well, this guy's name is Jackson Kernian.
Okay, I don't know who that is, and neither does anybody else.
Well, Jackson is a recent graduate with apparently he's either a recent PhD or PhD candidate.
My God, have you seen these interviews of college students? It's embarrassing. I feel sorry for them. They look so incredibly ignorant.
Well, remember, I too am a PhD candidate, but I'm not like one of these college students.
Mm-hmm.
So at any rate, he's teaching philosophy to the underclassmen.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder what he says about Aristotle. I'd be interesting to know.
I don't know. I've always considered philosophy professors to be piranhas on society, but that's just my opinion. So here's his tweet. I unironically.
Unironically, yes.
Which I don't even think is a word.
Well, it's like not being ironic.
Yes.
You should have said anti-ironic.
Embrace the bashing of rural Americans.
Embrace the bashing of rural Americans.
They, as a group, are bad people who have made bad life choices.
Bad life choices.
Some, I assume, are good people, but this nostalgia for some imagined pastoral way of life is stupid, and we should shame people who aren't pro-city.
I can't hear it for the people next door making noise. What'd you say? My walls are so thin in this condo.
So how can anyone be this ignorant?
You're talking about our what was the word he used?
Unironic.
Unironic guy? Yeah, the unironic PhD.
He says that we should be ridiculing people who live in rural communities because they are bad people who have made bad life decisions.
I'm going to tell you how I can be so ignorant. I really have an answer to this, believe it or not. It's called arrogance. They are so arrogant that they're totally ignorant.
I mean, you're not an intellectual. You're a pseudo-intellectual making comments like
this. It's like the news is not really the news either. It's pseudo-news. It's all made up.
How much you want to bet me that this soy boy that is making this comment isn't a vegan living off of vegetables that are being grown in a rural part of America?
Of course he is, probably, but it doesn't matter. These people are so arrogant that it shows their ignorance. I don't care if they have PhDs by the dozens behind their name. I have a friend of mine who's a real PhD, who I grew up with, was a neighbor. He's a smart guy.
Though. He's a smart guy.
No, he's a smart guy. By the way, my wife's father is a PhD. He's another smart guy. I'm surrounded by PhDs. Why aren't I smarter?
Well, I'll be getting mine soon. When I do, I'll ask them.
Well, thank you. Then I'll just, it'll be by osmosis. I'll just become smarter by knowing you.
I think by the fact that we do this show together and I'm currently working a PhD, I think you have worked the PhD with me.
Absolutely.
So I think we should both get one.
That would be an associate PhD, I suppose.
And then we can be doctor.
Yeah, the doctor.
Doctor and doctor.
Yeah, Dr. Chuck and Mark show.
Absolutely. But
I get first billing because more people know me. That's the
absolutely
reason.
Yeah. But think of this. These are people who made bad life decisions.
Oh, come on.
It's a bad life decision not to want to live in the filth of downtown.
Well, how about it's
San
a bad
Francisco?
Life decision to be a farmer? I mean, give me a break. Who gives them the privilege to say things like that? What an incredible privilege that is to look down on your neighbor because they're farmers.
It is dumbfounding.
No, it's just stupid left.
It's like Greta Thunberg or whatever her name is, who sits and poses for pictures with Leo DiCaprio.
You know, I got to tell you, in all honesty, and I mean this sincerely, I feel sorry for that child.
She's being used.
I really feel sorry for her.
She's being used.
Yeah, she'll be used by the United Nations. Everybody's ready to use her up.
And now she claims she can't get home.
Well, of course she can get home. She didn't want to get home by way of any. How does she get around? The Uber? How does she get around? She got a tricycle?
Rickshaw? Maybe they got rickshaws.
Well, I mean, what? I don't mean to make fun of her in any way, but I am. How does she get around?
I don't know the answer to that.
She ride a bicycle? Here. She went biking with Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think. Isn't that who she went biking
good
with?
Oh, good Lord. Yeah. Well, we already talked about oh, by the way.
Yes.
Now that you brought Arnold up, before we get off.
Okay.
The remember
my friend talked, Arnold.
Last week, we talked about Arnold's new movie that came out at $29 million. Mm-hmm. That they have 470 million wrapped up in.
Now they'll make it up in Europe.
They won't. Last week, it did 10 million.
Oh, it dropped off. Yeah. Well.
So you've got $470 million wrapped
up.
Was
this the remake of the remake of the remake of the remake of the Terminator?
It is, yes. It is a continuation of the Terminator.
These are like series now. They're not really movies. It's like the first installment of a series.
I know, but think about, we talked about this last week. The Terminator, the murdering bulletproof cyborg, mm-hmm. in this movie became a drapery designer. He runs a drapery shop.
Whose only fear in life is climate change.
Yes. What? Where would anyone think that the American public who wants to see Terminator movies wants to see the Terminator as an interior decorator?
I would. I'm sorry.
So you'll be the one person that goes and sees it.
Be the one guy. That's it. Yeah, I'm into drapes. I like them.
I've got a feeling if you do go see this movie, you won't have to work for a seat.
Well, probably not. I'll wait till it comes on Prime or something where I can watch it in the house. It's funny because Kristen and I like to go to the movies because it's a different kind of experience going to a movie. And yet I can't find anything that I want to go to see in the movie. I mean,
are you
going
to see Midway?
I love it. Probably will.
I will probably go see Midway.
Not that I don't know the story. I mean, good Lord, right. How many times it's like Pearl Harbor. How many times you have to see it or know about it. But
yeah. I was thinking about going to see the movie Harriet, too.
Harriet?
Yeah, it's about Harriet Tubman.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's come out, and that's actually doing pretty well. Yeah, it's a movie about Harriet Tubman, and I think that could be an interesting movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Because I'm a racist, but I still think Harriet Tubman was a great American. So
aren't we all?
Exactly.
It's crazy. Thanks, everybody, for listening to our show today. We hope you enjoyed it. You can pick it up on iTunes and Stitcher, also on Podcast One. And we'll see you next time. Hope you enjoyed the show. We enjoyed having you. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Blunt Force Truth.